Hey guys, Nick Burnett here. Just wanted to kind of give some information on why I joined the Patreon, why I'm part of the Dynasty Warzone team. Downloaded the Dynasty Warzone podcast. It took one day, joined the Patreon, reached out to Memphis about a situation with one of my rosters. And the kind of feedback I got was, hey, Nick, why don't you give me a call? We went down my roster and he helped me pull off a couple moves that put me ahead when I thought I was going to be in rebuild mode this year. And that's just part of what comes with the Patreon. Trade talks, just good interaction with guys that love fantasy football. Whether it's 10 o'clock at night or 3 o'clock in the morning, there's always going to be fantasy football talk, whether it's redraft, whether it's dynasty. I joined a couple leagues with the Patreon members, and it's the same thing. Even while we're drafting, we're still shooting ideas at each other. And if that sounds like something that you want to be a part of, pause the podcast now, join the Patreon, and join a great fantasy football group, but more like a fantasy football family.
Well, hello, neighbors. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hours Contractor. I am your host. It is Memphis. You can follow along with me on social media. You can follow me at DWZ Memphis on Twitter. And I don't post there a lot, but if you're curious, Instagram at Memphis185. So on tonight's show, I'm going to be talking to my man, Tommy B. Now, Tommy is one of the nicest people I have spoken to in the space, and made me feel really good to be able to jump on here and help him with his team. And he's a newer dynasty leaguer, man. He's going into his first off season. He's amassed a hell of a roster, done really, really well for himself. But it's a really good conversation. It's a conversation that the experienced GM can learn from. And it's a conversation that newer dynasty GMs can learn from. So I hope that you enjoy it. He and I recorded this. I'm recording this intro after the fact, and it's going to hit a couple of things real quick, and I will go get Tommy and we'll knock this thing out for you. First thing, this weekend, if you're listening to this before the Super Bowl, I am going to be doing a live feed on YouTube only at the Dynasty Warzone. It'll be me, my seven compadres over at the Dynasty Warzone. They'll be dropping in. We'll be talking a lot of mess and having a little bit of fun. And we'll turn that into a podcast that will drop on Monday on the Dynasty Warzone feed. And speaking of, we're going to be continuing to rock this thing out all off season long. You're looking at least 3 shows a week over at the Dynasty Warzone, and then I will be right here in your ears on the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. I am booked up about through March. I think I may have a week or two left in March, but it's filling up quick. And I am going to continue to take and fill this thing up, and I'm going to rock it till about August. So if you're interested, hit me up at DWZ Memphis on Twitter or DynastyWarzone@gmail. Those are your two ways to get in. DynastyWarzone@gmail or DWZ Memphis on Twitter, and we'll see about getting you on the show. So I have 2 things to cover, and I'll get Tommy. 1, 5-star reviews, not only for the Dynasty Happy Hour, but for the Dynasty Warzone. That is the freest. I made that word up, and one of my co-hosts makes fun of me, but it is the freest way to help out us podcast channels. It attracts sponsors. It attracts more listeners. When you search Dynasty, it pulls us to the top of the queue. So if you're enjoying this show, and if you enjoy me, you can leave both shows a 5-star review. Whether that's Apple, whether that's Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, I do not care. For whatever reason, the iTunes 5-star review seems to go a longer way in helping with the algorithm, which is just a fancy word for math, but it makes a difference. So if you want to help us out, if you've enjoyed the content, please leave us a rating and review. And if you're so inclined, if you want to see these shows live as they air, typically Wednesday or Thursday night, depends on my schedule, but you'll never miss them if you're subscribed at the Dynasty Warzone on YouTube. I do the YouTube feed on my feed, the Dynasty Warzone feed, And then the podcast is right here on the Dynasty Happy Hour. So if you want to see the show, because I'm doing pictures, we're doing some screen sharing, so you can see the rosters as I interact with these GMs. It's a great way to enjoy the show. Again, Dynasty Warzone on YouTube. All right, last thing, and then I'll get Tommy. So I've got a sponsor, been a sponsor of my other podcast, now sponsoring this podcast. It's an athletic apparel brand called Hate Brand Goods. The website is HVIII.com. The H and the Roman numeral for eight, HVIII.com. It was started by two-time Highland Games champion Matt Vincent. He has a podcast of his own. It's called So, and I'm a big fan. I believe in this product. If you do follow me on Instagram and you see me wearing some really funky, loud athletic shorts, they're Hate Brand shorts. I wear the t-shirts. I wear the joggers. I'm wearing the joggers literally as I record this podcast. The stuff is amazing. And if you're looking to spruce up your gym apparel game, if you're a workout person like me, they've got men's, they've got women's, they have a lot of good stuff. And I highly recommend that you check them out. So I'm going to play a little commercial for my man, Matt. Please head over to the website, thehviii.com. Check it out. And if you see something that you like, even if you're not into the fashion, they have a water bottle and a coffee mug that both say, kick today in the dick, which means give her hell. Kick today in the dick, make it matter, make it count, fight back. And a lot of good stuff at thehatebrand.com, thehviii.com. Enjoy hearing from Matt, the owner, about what that means, and enjoy my conversation with Tommy. But thanks for tuning in. Have a great week, guys. I hope you enjoy the show.
It's Hate Brand Goods. That's my company. That is what we've started. I hope you guys have checked it out. If you want to go over to thehate.com, hate for me means it's about self-improvement. It's this self-motivation through self-loathing, this bit of loathing of not tolerating your own bullshit, that little voice that says today's good enough or what we did's fine or no one's going to know that I'm taking today off. Like, fuck all that, man. I know. Like, I hold that standard. I'm accountable to me. And that's it. That's why I chase goals. I do it because of me. I don't do it because of what someone else is going to think of it or what someone else's approval is. And it's about holding yourself to that. The rest of that motivation can fade, but as long as you're in control of being able to make you do the shit you want to do, you're golden, man. So head over to thehate.com, use code and save yourself some cash.
All right. And here he is. His name is Tommy. And he is going to be my guest tonight on The Contractor. For those of you watching live on either Twitter or YouTube, if you're catching this on podcast, you can go back and see what both Tommy and I look like. But Tommy, welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for inviting me. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Listen, I'm really excited. We were doing a little chatting before I hit the record button. And man, this is great. You are a new Dynasty gamer. You said first year, and then you don't know what to do with yourself in the off season.
Yeah, I've been playing Redraft for like 10 years now, and I really like the team building aspect, but I kind of felt like I was climbing the mountain every year, and as soon as I could enjoy the view, you know, the season's over, and I wanted to try Dynasty out this year. Now I'm at a point where I've built what I think is a pretty good team, and I don't know what to do in the off season because this is my first exposure to it.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to covering this roster. I'm going to pull it up live on my screen here in just a second for the viewing audience to take a look at. Again, this is the benefit of subscribing to the Dynasty Warzone YouTube channel, because you can get this sweet podcast in audio form here at the Dynasty Happy Hour. But if you want to see the video, you want to see the... I'm not going to go as far as to call them graphics. I've got a buddy named Matt, at Matty Big Chest on Twitter. If you're looking to get an MFL or Sleeper League customized, Matty can hook that up for you. So I'm not going to call them graphics. I'm going to call them pictures. I got pictures of my friend Tommy here's roster. So this is your first league. Now, I didn't ask because you are my kind of guy. You have turned this thing into a spreadsheet. What is the hosting platform of this league? Is it Sleeper, CBS, MFL? Where are you guys playing?
Yeah, we're playing on MFL.
Okay, that is my chosen platform. I like it. It's somewhere just between functional enough and old fashioned enough that I really like it. I know a lot of people do not like the browser. I'm sorry, do not like the app for MFL because it's not actually made by MFL. It's made by a third party, if I remember correctly. But I go directly in through my browser on Safari on my iPhone. I think it's great. I like the trade feature. I like the trade feature where if you go to accept, it actually asks you like, are you sure? Do you really want to do it? It's a little bit easier to see the trades. Now, we are not sponsored by MFL and we are not anti-sleeper here at the Dynasty Happy Hour or the Dynasty Warzone. And I will give any company this. Any company that listens to its audience, that listens to its customer base, and Sleeper, to their credit, because I've always hated them, have removed the mascots from Sleeper. And something that I did not like last year was the trade function. They've really cleaned up the trade functionality on their app. So kudos to them to never rest and always be working. And that's why we're here. So new Dynasty League. Now, is this with like a bunch of friends? Is this as my wife calls them, is this an internet friends league? How did this league come about?
Yeah, so I coerced my best friend to join just a generic MFL Dynasty League. And so he and I joined. I've made a few friends, you know, just chatting back and forth, whatever, during the season. So I'm close with, I don't know, four or five of the managers, but in real life, best friends with one of them.
Okay, well, I mean, that's good. You have to feel comfortable where you're playing. I'll be honest, we run some really good leagues over at our Patreon at the Dynasty Warzone. But, you know, 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, whenever JD of the Goat District podcast reached out to me and was like, hey, man, they had done a startup and they had some real squirrely owners. So they just decided to literally blow the whole thing up, like a month worth of drafting and trading and the whole shebang. And we just did your standard one QB startup league. Like I said, this is about 5 years ago. Superflex was really just starting to become a thing, nowhere near as huge as it is now. And that has been like the formation of what I think Dynasty with quote unquote internet friends should be. It's a bunch of great guys. We talk every day. It's a great group chat. And speaking of group chat, how would you rank your group chat here in this particular league?
I would say it's pretty active. We have a few people who are in just about every day, you know, talking about different trade offers or just things that are happening. There are a couple owners who just, they can't be bothered, but it's a pretty active chat.
No, man, that's great. I've always said, as long as I've been doing this show and as long as I've been a Dynasty owner, I have no problem being the catalyst to stir the group chat. You know, yesterday, as we record this on the evening of February 4th, on the 3rd, there was some hullabaloo, especially here locally where I live here in Indianapolis, about a young man named Andrew Luck. And whenever I saw the news that Andrew Luck may or may not be coming out of retirement, I kept posting that gif of Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye from the Avengers with the, don't give me hope. Don't give me hope that there's a possibility, a sliver of a chance that Andrew Luck could come back. But before we talk about that, I will say that Andrew Luck, this is the time of year where I pick him up. I actually, in any league that I'm in where waivers run and triple that, if it's a super flex league, I always pick him up. Because you should always kind of be kicking around your free agent pool, especially if waivers are still running. Dumping some of those Danny Amendola type, you know, wide receivers you still may have, clogging up the back end of your roster and looking for someone. But here's the thing about a guy like Andrew Luck. If Andrew Luck were to come back, there is nothing that you're going to find on a waiver wire worth anything remotely with what Andrew Luck is worth. I mean, if he comes back and you get a season out of him, it is a complete W. But my point of bringing up the Andrew Luck story is I'm the kind of guy, I'll take a story like that or a story like 2 days ago, it was mentioned that Derek Carr could be on the trade block because that gets conversation going, you know, and then I do it for other reasons as well. I get, you know, going because then I see who's in the chat. I'll give you a great example. We have a guy named Nate in the aforementioned Goat League chat. And, but you know, he and I will get something going. Then I see who chimes in, and that lets me know that A, they are on their phone or computer, and B, they're talking football. So C, I'm conversely going to their roster and just kind of taking a quick peruse of what's going down. So that is one thing that I would recommend. But you said you get four or five guys, they're in there every day. And so at least it's spinning, and the NFL is doing us a solid. They're giving us tons of news right now. So you said that you are looking for what to do now that the season is basically over. Is that right?
Yeah. So I'm less concerned with individual players. I'm here to learn, if possible, about off-season strategy as much as I can, given the context of my team and my league. You know, there's a lot of folks out there who can offer rankings or player evaluations. Those are a dime a dozen. What I really value is you seem to be able to talk about the theory behind it, you know, Andrew Luck as an example, or speaking in the chat as an example to stir up a little bit more action. And so, yeah, I'm really hoping that you can just provide any context to help me out with what I can expect over the next few months.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that, first of all. I appreciate the kind words more than anything. So if you go to the Dynasty Warzone feed of the, you know, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever you get your podcast, there is a podcast that I dropped. Now, normally this is something that I dropped on our Patreon channel. I do a custom Patreon podcast every week, and this is one that I did called the Dynasty Owners Checklist, Postseason Checklist. It was probably the most complimented. I know Reddit does upvotes and YouTube does likes and comments and whatnot, but it was the one that I got the most traction on. Hey, I really dug that. Hey, I really like that, because there is a lot going on. The number one thing that I would recommend right now for a new Dynasty owner is to continue to listen to shows like the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor, and continue to listen to the Dynasty Warzone, and continue to get that collective IQ that, you know, experienced guys like me, like Tyler Gunther. The Dynasty Trade Calculator is a good one. The Dynasty Nerds, guys that have been doing it for a long time. But I also highly recommend, and even if, and I'm just a very honest person, I would be a terrible salesman, even if it was at the sake of not listening to my show, I would tell you to also incorporate the Three and Out podcast that is hosted by a guy named John Middlecoff. It's Three and Out. You can also find him on the Colin Cowherd network of podcasts. He is an ex-NFL scout. He scouted for the Eagles when Andy Reid was the head coach. He had some cool off-season podcasts last year with Sean McDermott, the head coach of the Bills. He had an interesting podcast with Andy Reid himself. So he's a pretty connected guy, and he gives you a perspective on the NFL unlike a lot of Dynasty owners. Then another one that I highly recommend is the GM Shuffle with Mike Lombardi. Mike Lombardi was a general manager in the league. I know he worked with Al Davis. I know he worked with Bill Belichick. And he gives you that general manager's perspective of the NFL. And then the third one that I listen to is Mark Schlereth. I find Mark Schlereth to be incredibly funny. I know a lot of people do not, but I think he's pretty comical. And the reason why I do that is I love my fellow Dynasty podcasters. I love my fellow Dynasty content creators. But I will say this, deep down, we're all fans. And deep down, we all have bias. And the reason why I single out the Schlereth, the Middlecoff, and the Lombardi podcast is I'm getting the perspective of an ex-player, an ex-GM, and an ex-scout as what they think about the talent. It's extremely useful. And then as we get closer to the draft, I listen to the first draft podcast with Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, as well as the one, I don't remember the name of it, Move the Sticks, with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. And again, that's not to A, steal their work, and it's B, not to push away the work of my peers here in the Dynasty and Debbie space. It's that these guys really don't care. And for the most part, most of them do not have a bias. They're just going to tell me what is their perspective. It's the reason why I never wavered on Carson Wentz as a Dynasty podcaster and as a Dynasty player, because everything that these guys are telling me is like they're doing everything humanly possible to resurrect the career of Carson Wentz. It doesn't mean that I have to think he's great. It just means that I need an honest opinion. So those are all great things that you can listen to in the off season. You based on the spreadsheet I'm going to show here in a minute, enlist the number of people. Now, I do this for our Patreons. Again, patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. I'm creating a spreadsheet right now that I'm taking all of the ranking services that I either subscribe to personally or that are free on the internet. And I just go through and I just create an Excel spreadsheet, little tabs at the bottom. If you know, everybody, I think everybody knows how an Excel spreadsheet works for the most part. Even my caveman ass knows how an Excel spreadsheet works. And I have little tabs across the bottom and I go through and I list them. And then I put this service and that service and I just, you know, wherever they rank them. And then at the end, it spits out, you know, what's the collective IQ. And then you don't want to make it too crazy. You know, there's a lot of knuckleheads out there too. So I take people that I trust, like Ray Garvin, like Nick Whalen, et cetera. And I don't want to go down that rabbit hole of naming a bunch of names because I'll forget somebody and feel horrible. But those are some of the off-season things that I start doing. Has anyone ever, you know, suggested that to you before?
Yeah, so I consume a ton of podcasts specifically because I work from home and I'm on my computer all the time. These are all really good resources that I haven't listened to. So I'm looking forward to consuming some of that. And one thing, maybe I'd like to bring this up. I've noticed that there's been this massive shift in the last month to almost overvaluing draft capital, maybe from my perspective. And it was sudden. And I'm wondering what the hell is going on right now. It's crazy seeing, I'm not a big Twitter guy. I have an account just to keep up with football. It's crazy seeing what veterans are available for such low draft capital. Is that something that's typical? Is that something that's going to swing back to sanity, or is this just the off season?
So one of the things, it's a great question. I'm going to, you know, save this and I'm going to tweet this out. It's the picture. One of our Patreons actually shared this with me and I'll send it to you via email when we're done tonight. It's what I call the Dynasty Circle of Life. It really talks about the value. It's literally a circle and it's like a pie chart and a graph. It's really neat. I don't know if he made it or he found it somewhere, but he shared it with me. Yes, this is the time. I was working with one of our Patreons. I was working with him the other day and he was like, I got a guy, he offered me Deshaun Watson for the 101. What do you think? And I'm like, you really got offered Deshaun Watson for the 101. And he was like, yeah. I was like, I wouldn't do that. I was like, what else do you got? And through the course of the conversation, he also had the one, this is a rebuilding team that he's, you know, it's an orphan that he's trying to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, if you will. And he also had the 102, the 105, and the 107. And I said, I tell you what I'd do. I said, I would offer the 102 and the 107 for Deshaun Watson. And, you know, I don't know that he's newer, but, you know, he's a very shrewd person. I could imagine being in business negotiations with him and having it being very tough. And he was like, man, I don't know. I was like, what? Let's put names to those picks in a super flex league. Because in super flex leagues, obviously the value of quarterbacks ratchet up to the sky. And I was like, let's put names on those players. Okay, at the 102, you're probably going to go either Zach Wilson or Justin Fields. Depending on where they land, you may like one a little bit more than the other. But you're going to go a quarterback with the 102. He was like, yeah. And I was like, at the 107, I was like, you're probably going to have three quarterbacks gone, at least two running backs, and Jamar Chase. So then you're going to be sitting there at 107, you know, maybe it's Kyle Pitts, maybe it's another quarterback, because there's projected five to go. I was like, just say that out loud. Just say that out loud with me. You're going to give up Zach Wilson, and we'll just say Devonta Smith for Deshaun Watson. You do that every day of the week. You take it. You say thank you, please, because Deshaun Watson is not someone that I've personally invested a lot of time in talking in, but I will tell you that can his situation get worse? No. Can his situation get so much better? Because for me personally, he's my QB2 in a startup. I think that highly of Deshaun. And is he going to land somewhere so good that he's going to leapfrog Patrick Mahomes? No. So Deshaun Watson's going to be a badass no matter what team he goes to. And by going through that exercise with him and just saying, yeah, that's a solid deal. So he accepted the offer. And now he's got an orphan where he's going to draft Trevor Lawrence with the 101 and Deshaun Watson. And he still has Matt Ryan as his QB3. I'm like, this is exactly, and you still have the 105. So you're going to have your choice of probably one of the two best running backs in this class and or Ja'Marr Chase. I was like, now look at your roster. And he started going. He's like, man, he's like, I'm glad I talked this through with you because you're absolutely right. To answer your question in a long-winded fashion, which I am good at, is that yes, people are way overvaluing young players and rookie picks. You know, are you a Family Guy fan at all? You ever remember Peter Griffin?
Oh, yeah.
The classic Family Guy, the boat episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can have the boat or you can have the mystery box. And his wife is like, well, I don't know, Peter. You know, you really want to get that boat. And he's like, look. This mystery box could be anything, including a boat.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the boat. It's the bird in the hand. I saw a trade on Twitter. You know, people will post Twitter trades. It was Alvin Kamara for the 105 and something else.
Oh,
and I'm all for considering moving those running backs going into year five. But Alvin Kamara would not be at the top of that list. To answer your question, yeah, now's the time that for a dynasty GM that has the courage, and that's the word, courage, that you have the courage to move your picks for veterans that you just believe in, you can probably get about a 25% discount right now, and that may be generous. It could be more. And here's the thing. I post this GIF a lot. Actually, it's a meme. It's a meme of Spider-Man, and it says, psst, hey, kid, your rookie picks are only worth more until they're on the clock. And that's just the way that it is. So, yes, I will send I'm not going to pin tweet it because my pin tweet on Twitter is all of my show links and sponsor links and everything. But I will tweet this thing back out, and I will send it to you personally. And again, it's one of those things that if you have the courage to take advantage of it, you can. Like right now, a guy that is actually on your roster, and at some point for those watching along, I am going to pull up a picture of Tommy's roster, but this is great conversation, is to target a guy like DJ Moore. DJ Moore had the quietest 1,200-yard season I can remember in history, you know, and people are so down on him, and it's all about touchdowns. 1,200 yards is nothing to sneeze at, and Robbie Anderson had a good season, and he kept his offensive coordinator. There was a lot of talk that Joe Brady was going to be out. He was going to get a head coaching gig. They kept Matt Rhule. Obviously, he's there for a 7-year contract, and for all intents and purposes, it looks like they could get a QB upgrade. And that's nothing against old Teddy Two Gloves, but they were seriously involved in Matthew Stafford, and they may make a play for Derek Carr. I know a lot of people don't like Derek Carr, but I don't dislike Derek Carr. He's a great QB2 who can give you QB2 production and a super flex for QB3 prices. So yeah, these are the things that you do. I start cruising around, and I start looking at. I like to land in that sweet spot of running backs between year 2 and 3 or 4. I'm starting to get nervous. I know there are other dynasty services out there that are talking about, you know, next year is going to be Joe Mixon's year. If it is, it ain't going to be on none of my rosters. This guy's going into year 5. We're talking about half a decade in the league, and he's yet to show us what we think he can show us. So if he does it, I'm not rooting against you, Joe, because I would rather have my take be wrong and you be successful. But I'm going to find out with you on someone else's roster. So yeah, to answer your question again, it's a great time to start, you know, cruising around. A great resource that I recommend if you're new to trades, which from talking to you earlier, you are the point guard of this league of trades, to use your term. The Dynasty Trade Calculator. right now, I mean, and here's how I would use the Dynasty Trade Calculator right now, because I am a subscriber. So I would literally throw a player's name in there, and I would see what the calculator says it's worth. And then I would see what my pick's worth. And then I would, you know, add 20% to my pick and go shopping. Because okay. I know people are going to get doing it. I joked around in a league. Now, this is a league with all male GMs. I am in plenty of leagues with female GMs. But this was all male GMs. And I made the statement. It's like, guys, in Dynasty, I can tell you in this league, two things make us incredibly stupid. Beautiful women and rookie picks. They can make a fool out of all of us. So that's where we were. So that is one thing I will tell you. Yeah. I know, let's go ahead and get into the body of your team. I'm going to do some brand. Do you have any other questions before we get started?
I've got plenty of questions, but
fire away,
I think this is a good time to check out the team. I'll just give a brief update of sort of how I arrived here.
All right. I'm sharing my screen now.
Perfect. Yeah. This is my first year playing Dynasty. I tried to play it as safe as possible in the startup draft and just get young wide receivers and pieces that I thought would appreciate next year and sort of take a training wheels approach. And it worked out okay. You know, I started off the season a little bit rough, but was able to make some trades to sort of put myself in competition. I was one of the middle of the road teams, and towards the midpoint of the year, people were just giving up left and right. And so I was able to get into the playoffs and do pretty well. But the initial thought was, let's just build a solid foundation and sort of learn as we go through this process, which is one of the reasons why I don't have any draft picks for 2021. I kind of wanted to go through this offseason and get a feel for what draft picks are worth and how to best select them. And then next year, take approach of actually drafting players.
Well, we'll just start with your quarterback. Now, this is a 12 owner team, 12 GMs.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Now, this is a 1 QB. And in a 1 QB league, I like to build with a 1-1-2 format. That's one quarterback, one stud running back, and two stud wide receivers. That's where I like to start. That's typically what I'm looking to come away with. I know there are other services out there that like to build around the running back position, especially in the first round. I'm okay with that. It depends on where you're drafting. I'm not going to overreach for a running back because the life cycle of a running back is so short. You know, Todd Gurley is the classic example. You know, Zeke Elliott, you know, I mean, and nothing against Zeke. You've gotten a good return on your investment. If you drafted him in 2016, he has more than done his share for your dynasty rosters over the years. But, you know, and that was 2016, and he's really starting to dip in value versus an asset that you have on your team right now in Devontae Adams, who entered the league in 2014, so 2 years prior to Zeke. And it depends on where you get your dynasty rankings and dynasty input. He's a lot of people's wide receiver one. Now, I have him a little bit lower than that personally. I'm not an ageist, but I do believe once you get past a certain point, I like to get out a year too early than a year too late. So, but yeah, I mean, that's my thing about running back. So, but you have the one. Let's talk about your quarterbacks. You have Kyler Murray, Taysom Hill, and Jameis Winston. Again, this is a 1 QB. How did you feel about Kyler? Because he started the season off a man on fire. He was the QB1 overall. I think it was up till week 12-ish, maybe give or take one. Then he had the issue with his shoulder. He tended not to rush the ball as much. And then he eventually got caught by Josh Allen. Depends on your scoring format too, obviously, but he got caught by Josh Allen in a basic scoring format. So did you draft Kyler? Did you trade for him? Where would you rank yourself on the I love Kyler scale?
Yeah, so I love that he runs, right? I'm not a believer in Kyler Murray, though. I know a lot of people are, but he fell to me in the startup draft, and it was just value that I couldn't pass up, and he produced. So I kept him on my roster. I tried to move him several times at a profit and really wasn't able to. I also had Brady during the season, but I flipped him right before the trade deadline and picked up Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston then. And it worked out really well because that's right when Breeze was down and, you know, I had another startable quarterback for the back half of the year.
Well, I like that move in Brady. You know, Tom Brady is one of those assets. Again, this is not a super flex league, but Tom Brady is the kind of asset that it takes courage to go get Tom Brady right now. I mean, the guy was still, the last 2 years, 42 and 43-year-old seasons, and he finished as a top eight QB in both, I believe. I know he was top 10 in both years. And yes, at some point, all the Tom Brady naysayers are going to be right. Eventually, at some point, he's going to fall off. But, you know, he's talking about, like, he may play another 2 years. I just, crazy. Absolutely crazy to see what Tom Brady is doing with his age. So that was a good trade. I like Kyler. I don't know that you're going to be able to move him for a guy that I would want to move him for. That's kind of where you're at right now. I mean, for me personally, I don't remember my rankings, but I have Kyler right around like 5. And maybe the Deshaun Watson owner is a little bit nervous right now. You know, is he or she? I think this is an all male league, but is that particular GM, are they an active member?
They are. It's actually the person I flipped Brady to.
This is perfect.
Yeah.
So you know, might be a good move. I mean, I don't know how long the Deshaun Watson thing goes into free agency. But you're looking for Kyler to get like some kind of good news, maybe a new wide receiver, maybe an offensive lineman. Then I would go talking about, hey, what about Kyler for Deshaun? Hey, do you want to rest easy and have a quarterback and know where he's going to play? And it's a weak crutch to lean on, but maybe to say, hey, are you really worried about him holding out for the entire year? You know, how close do you have Kyler and Watson? You know, I'm a big, you know, big Watson guy, and maybe I'd be willing to make a deal. And
yeah, this manager, they seem to, they're willing to take anything that is perceived value. So if a trade calculator says that they win, they're willing to make that trade.
Well, I like that. Old friend Leo at Siga FF. He always talks about keeping a black book, a little black book on all of your fellow GMs so that you know their tells, you know what they do, you know what they trade for. That's great. If you know an owner is going to bow at the feet of the calculator, that's perfect. Because sometimes I'm not afraid to lose a trade. And I love the guys at the DTC. That's the one that I use. I'm more than happy to lose by 5, 10%. I really don't care if I think I'm getting the better end of it because I'm playing the longer term game, and I'm always looking to accrue value. So that would be my one thing at the quarterback position. I prefer Watson, but you're in no means bad shape. Running backs. Let's look at this is an embarrassment of riches. You should be ashamed of yourself for having this many good running backs on one team. And I like your mix, man. I really do. You have Christian McCaffrey. He's going into year 5. But he's like going to the used car lot and getting a used car, but it's the one with real low miles on it. You know, he was used a bunch in 2019, but due to that ankle injury, and then he tweaked a muscle. And I think it was really smart and prudent of, maybe it's Daniel Tepper, the owner, and Matt Rhule, the head coach. They're like, this guy is the face of our franchise right now. He is the guy. You know, Teddy's a nice quarterback. They're looking to move. They're looking to move Teddy at least to a backup role or a bridge role. This is the face of our franchise, and they kept the miles low on this particular running back. So I love that. And then you have two of the hottest young guys in the league. You have J.K. Dobbins, and a guy that is at the tippy top of my buy list this offseason, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You've also got Lynn Bowden Jr. and Kerryon Johnson and LaMichael Perine, Boston Scott. Now, Boston Scott's not a bad guy to have around. And I'm going to throw this one out for the listeners and viewers as well. So, new Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni is a former Indianapolis Colt. Spent a lot of time with Frank Reich, and I think that's part of the reason why they hired this man. You know, if you can't get the guy next to the guy type thing. And just look at how the Colts used Nyheim Hines this year. Very active in the passing game. And I would love to see, I would love to see Miles Sanders more involved in the passing game. But if they use Boston Scott in the passing game, even in the slightest, man, that's going to be a nice little RB4 for you to maybe play a bye week or a really tough matchup. So how did you, so forget McCaffrey. You probably got him in the startup, or maybe you fleeced someone in a trade. I really want to know how you came across Dobbins and Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, so I paid a premium for both. So I drafted Dobbins in the startup at the 201 just because, again, I was playing for the future and I believed in the talent, and I knew if I was patient that the opportunity would grow. And so it was the perfect running back for that situation, in my opinion. I flipped the entire Jaguars running back backfield early in the season for a total of 2 first-rounders, a second, and a third, and eventually turned that into CEH week 2. So I overpaid, but he was going bananas right out the gate, and I thought, this is a great pairing. I'll have 2 stud running backs. I did not have CMC at the beginning of the year. I got him about mid-season, and I paid a lot for him too, but it was, I thought, worth it at the time. I thought he was coming back, and he would really put my team over the top for a playoff push. He didn't, but it was, that was the idea.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Great minds think alike, because I went out in a league and I acquired CEH too in a league that I was chasing a championship. And it worked out about as well for me as it sounded like it worked out for you. But, you know, it was the great gambler and poker player Doyle Brunson. At least that's where I heard it. He's like, sometimes you got to go out on the limb. That's where the food is. So big swing, but you got there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, as long as he does not go absolutely bananas in the Super Bowl this coming Sunday, he is going to continue to be the guy that I go after and go after hard. I think the dynasty world wants to hold it against him that he wasn't Kareem Hunt in that Andy Reid system. And I've said this before, but I used to write some articles over for a group called the Dynasty Football Factory. And I wrote one on Kareem Hunt and Spencer Ware, Kareem Hunt's rookie year. And Andy Reid traditionally does not overuse rookie running backs. I mean, Brian Westbrook, any rookie running back that had gotten significant work with Andy Reid, regardless of draft capital, really came down to situations like when Spencer Ware tore a knee ligament and missed the season, and he had no choice but to give more of the action to Kareem Hunt, and then he exploded. You know, there was always going to be some kind of mixture of Damian Williams and Daryl Williams, and what was the one guy that was super popular? I don't even remember, but Darwin Thompson. And there was always going to be someone else involved. But if you go back and, again, look at the career of Brian Westbrook, the guy that Clyde Edwards-Helaire was comped to coming into the league, go look at Shady McCoy, go look at Deuce Staley, go look at a lot of the running backs under Andy Reid and look at their year two numbers. That is really when they really flourish. Even if they had a good year, it seemed like year two was always really the jump off point. And you can have 3 or 4 great seasons with him. So again, as long as he does not go bananas in the Super Bowl, he will still be attainable. Again, rookie picks, you know, people are going to want rookie picks. And you know, if I, In a 1QB like this, and if I really, really, really needed a running back and I was stacked at like wide receiver like you are, we're getting ready to talk about your wide receivers, I would offer my 104 for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because I know there's a lot of hype right now for a running back out of North Carolina, Javonta Williams. I was starting to put my spreadsheet together for my Patreons today, and he was like one of a handful of consensus players. He was literally consensus RB3 in his class for every service that I, you know, there was a lot of back and forth between ETN and Najee Harris as the one or the two, depending on where you looked. But literally 4 services in a row that I looked at all had Javonta Williams as the 3 consensus. So if you don't believe in him and you don't want Jamar Chase, which who wouldn't want Jamar Chase because he's going to be a stud, but in your case, because we're going to talk about your wide receivers, That's a move I'd make. I'd offer the 104 in a super flex. There's three quarterbacks that I'm really interested in, and at least two running. I would say I would be comfortable offering around the 106, 107, at least as a starting point. I don't know that you would get him for that, but I think you have a better shot in April or May or June, whenever your rookie draft is, than you do today with the Super Bowl game. So the one guy I want to talk about, spend a few minutes on, and then we'll go to the wide receivers, is J.K. Dobbins. Now, are you enamored with him? Are you a Ravens fan? Tell me about you and J.K.'s relationship.
I just saw him as a appreciating asset. I'm not beholden to any of these players. I just think his talent and his opportunity would grow. And when I was ready to compete, he would be an elite asset. I'm getting interest in him right now, and I'm hearing conflicting things. You know, he's not going to catch a ton of passes. I've heard that. I've heard that he's not going to score a lot of touchdowns because of Lamar Jackson. I just think he's almost too good to fail. But I was wondering if you could tell me, what would it take for you to move him in this type of a structure to where I could actually get value and then, you know, move on to the next guy?
Man, that is my, if it's a small nit to pick, but if I had one nit to pick with J.K. Dobbins, it is my concern about the involvement in the passing game. I will give credit to this. I have always given credit where I know where some material that I'm using comes from. And it was Graham Barfield of Fantasy Points. He said that a passing target is worth 2.8 times as much as one rushing attempt. And I really, really want to get more of a pass catching back. I'm thinking through my rankings top of my head. I tell you what, that one I'm going to have to get, you know, back to you. Like Miles Sanders in a pick would interest me with Nick Sirianni there. I think they'll make some improvements to the offensive line. The three podcasters I was talking about earlier, especially Mark Schlereth being an offensive lineman, how do you fix the passing game? By establishing the running game. I think Miles Sanders is going to be really, really involved in both assets. And if I could get him in a pick, that would interest me. Guys that I'm not super interested in at the running back position are like Derrick Henry. I think every service in Dynasty right now is telling everybody to sell Derrick Henry. Well, no kidding. He's the opposite of Christian McCaffrey. He's the car on the used car lot with like 160,000 miles, and it looks great. Maybe it's a pickup truck. Derrick Henry's like more of like one of those jacked up, you know, pickup trucks with the mud tires on him. Looks great, could run over anything. But man, it's you see that big old frame and you see all those miles on it, and you're like, how long is it gonna run like that before it's in the shop? And that's my fear. So I think a guy like Miles Sanders would be the top of it. If someone wanted to give me the 101 or the 102 in your league, in a one QB league, I would be more than happy to do that, because I think both Najee Harris and Travis Etienne are. And here's the thing about J.K. Dobbins. This is not an indictment of his pass catching ability. This is an indictment on the offense that he's in. So if you could get the 101, perfect. Because then you're going to be able to see where Harris lands, where Etienne lands. And I'm telling you, there are three or four locations in the NFL that are going to mint a brand new RB1. Maybe not overall, but like a top 12 running back in a startup. And that's going to be Seattle. That's going to be Pittsburgh. And that's going to be Atlanta. If any of these teams spend a first or a second round pick on a running back, I'm telling you, and especially if it, and double that if it's Najee Harris or Travis Etienne, I would gladly take one of those two guys in that situation. But that's a little bit of gambling. You're going to be gambling a little bit. It's the bird in the hand versus the two in the bush, because you've got a great talent in a great running game. For me, it's just the pass catching and the fact that I don't think he'll do a lot of it. I do a lot of prop betting, and I remember seeing a lot of props on J.K. Dobbins, and his under on receptions for a game were typically between 1.5 and 2.5 versus a guy like Alvin Kamara. It would be 5.5. And that's the kind of running back in the kind of situation I would be looking in. Love the talent. Last year going into draft season, he was my running back too in the class. coming out of it. I actually had him ahead of Jonathan Taylor. So I'm a big fan of the guy. I just don't love the situation. So we're gonna transition this to the running back room. But I will tell you, no drastic measures. Again, you know, when the chat's hopping and you know things are going, you're throwing a player like J.K. Dobbins into the group chat and saying, "Hey guys, I would take serious offers on J.K. Dobbins," is like being a pretty lady and changing your status on social media to single. You're going to get a lot of offers and probably some of them you really, really don't want. But, you know, that's the risk you take. At least you find out who's interested and what they pay. So that's a move I would consider. But, yeah, no drastic moves over there. And then this next group, it's literally an embarrassment of riches. I don't know how – we're going to find out. I don't know how you got all these wide receivers – but you should be ashamed of yourself for fleecing your fellow GMs. You've got Davante Adams, you've got AJ Brown, you've got DJ Moore, Cortland Sutton, Deontay Johnson, DJ Chark, a guy that I like a lot, Mike Williams, Quintez Cephas, maybe forced into duty in Detroit. And here's a name that I hadn't thought of in a while, but when I was looking at your roster, I was like, if there's ever a guy to go throw a fourth round rookie pick at right now, John Ross. Mr. 422 himself going to be hitting free agency here in about 6 weeks. And, but man, who did you draft? Who did you trade for? Tell me about this wide receiver group. Cause it's fantastic.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So in the startup draft, I pulled the 101 and I traded down like four times. And so I just had a ton of second, third, fourth round picks. And I took advantage of that to get wide receivers. So AJ Brown, DJ Moore, Cortland Sutton, and DJ Chark, I drafted in the startup. I traded Miles Sanders for Davante Adams and a bunch of other stuff, which I then traded again. But that was the big piece there. I traded when he was hurt and it was just serendipity there. And then I picked up Deontay Johnson as quickly as I could. It took me like 4 or 5 weeks, but he was hurt as well. And so I picked him up, and toward the back half of the year, he was one of my best players. It was amazing. It was like wide receiver 5 or something. And so he ultimately helped me win the championship in this league, just getting players like that who people weren't all that interested in our league.
Well, I love the age range. Now, this is the kind of roster where you might want to chase back-to-back championships. I mean, who wouldn't want to chase back-to-back championships? I mean, you've got all of the pieces. The one guy, like if you're looking to get some rookie picks, that I would consider trading would be Davante Adams. Now, here's the thing. You are so young at the rest of your wide receivers. I mean, you've got going into year 3, AJ Brown, going into year 4, Sutton and Moore. I think he's going into year 3 as well, Deontay Johnson. Going into year 4, DJ Chark. Going into year 5, Mike Williams. This is an extremely young group of wide receivers. By the way, I was having this conversation with a friend the other day. Why in the hell do they not get Mike Williams more volume? Why does a guy who averages like 17 yards a catch, why is he getting 6 targets a game and why is Keenan Allen getting 17? Can we clean that ratio up a little bit? I'm not saying we got to split it 50-50. I'm saying can we get like 9 and 13? I could totally go for 9 and 13, but I digress. No, this is great. You know, when Trevor Lawrence becomes a Jacksonville Jaguar, and you got Urban Meyer as the head coach, and I like Darrell Bevell as a offensive coordinator. I know a lot of people do not. I thought he was great in Detroit. I think the magic half season that everybody loved to extrapolate out after 2019 for Matthew Stafford, it's like it would have been 5,000 yards and 48 touchdowns and 8 it doesn't always work that way, but man, that's going to be a great offense. Thing of it is, though, it's like even if you had rookie picks with this roster, what are you going to take? Okay. Who are you going to take and who are they going to immediately come in and supplant? That would be my thing. It's, unless you guys start 19 players, maybe, I guess. But, I mean, if you're starting upwards of 10, you're golden.
Yeah, and there's a running joke in my league because I had at one point like 8 really good wide receivers and no running backs. To me, it's just people are bad at trading for value in this league, and I'm trying to capitalize on it as much as possible. And that's one thing I was hoping you could help clarify for me is I think I do have pretty good depth here. Would you recommend doing like a 3-for-2 or a 2-for-1 and try to become more dominant at a given position and sacrifice some of this depth?
I really wouldn't, because for me, it's all about points in your roster. Matthew Berry many years ago was the first person who turned me on to this. It was maybe 6-8 years ago. And he did this thing about the number of points that you need to win in a given league. So in this league, and I know you're a very data-driven person, I am as well, and you can go into your league and you can just see what's the average winning score. And then you can look at your roster and like, okay, what am I going to get? I'm not going to risk the depth of, you know, giving up, I mean, even trying to think of giving up DJ Moore and Cortland Sutton to get Tyreek Hill. What am I getting? I'm getting 2, maybe 3 points a game. If maybe it's 5, but I'm not going to give up that depth and, you know, weaken my overall structure of the team. The one thing, you know, I would, you know, use a trade calculator, you know, guys you like, you know, Jonathan Taylor, good luck getting him in a 1QB league. But that would be the one thing I would be looking. Can I move Davante Adams for like a top 3 startup running back? You know, a guy that you could really target right now, as young and awesome as this wide receiver group is. You may go look at the Saquon Barkley owner. Kind of out of sight, kind of out of mind. And I'm not the biggest Saquon Barkley fan in the world, but I will say this, and I know he catches a lot of hell. But I think Jason Garrett's not a horrible offensive coordinator. I believe the numbers, like over his tenure when he was in Dallas, he averaged like the 6th most points, the 6th most yards. It was like, I remember the numbers, whatever the categories were all 666. I was like, hello, Satan. But it was all 666. And he's not horrible. And you think about, they're going to add another piece to that offense, whether it's an offensive lineman to keep Daniel Jones upright or a wide receiver, maybe both. Because they're one of the handful of teams that has a little bit of cap money. They're going to allow everybody to play down a role. I think, you know, you've probably done it at work. I've done it at work. We all see those people who work down a level when they should be working up a level. Well, in this case, working down a level is actually going to be a good thing, because you're going to bring in an alpha type, like maybe an Allen Robinson or a Kenny Galladay. Or maybe they drafted Jamar Chase if he happens to be there for them. And then that allows Darius Slayton to go into a natural wide receiver too. It allows Golden Tate to be, or excuse me, Sterling Shepard to go into a wide receiver 3. It allows Golden Tate to be a situational slot receiver. It takes pressure off of Evan Ingram. And then you put that many weapons on the field, it really lets Saquon Barkley operate. So yeah, I mean, if I, that would be a conversation that I would be willing to have. You know, especially if that owner is, and I'm trying to get in the better habit of using the term GM. If that GM is, you know, particularly hurting at wide receivers, and just have the honest conversation. Hey, I'm looking at your roster. You could definitely look at some solid points. You know, I think in a points per game basis, and you know, as we've learned about running backs like Saquon Barkley, you know, it's a much more volatile position from an injury standpoint. I don't think Davante Adams for Saquon Barkley straight up is a bad deal for you at all on this team.
Okay. If I held on to Davante in Dynasty, how much longer do I have? I don't expect him to be the wide receiver one, but of being a upper crust wide receiver.
As long as Aaron Rodgers is there.
Okay.
To be quiet. This is the sickness that I have related to the game of football. He just turned 28 on Christmas Eve. If it wasn't Christmas Eve, it was Christmas Day. So, I mean, he's really what a lot of, you know, dynasty services would consider over the age apex. He's still going to have a dynamite 3 more years. So you're not stuck with a horrible asset. It's just that, you know, that perception becomes reality. Ah, he's 28, he's 29. Ah, it won't be too long, he's Julio Jones. With the way this roster is constructed, as long as you don't have to start four running backs, you're fine with him. But if you're wanting to kind of diversify a little bit, and you just want a little bit more running back depth because you do have good running backs, but you're not very deep behind the three that you have, that's a great move. Because on a points per game basis, you know, on average, you know, all things being equal, you're probably going to get between 22 and 24 PPR points apiece out of Adams and out of Barkley. And I'm guesstimating, speculating a little bit in there, but I think I'm pretty close. And, you know, that would allow you to balance your ledger a little bit. And I think both guys have a great 3-year run ahead of them, whether it be Barkley or Adams. It just works out for you because you have all of these other awesome wide receivers. And really, when you have this much talent, you wind up playing a guessing game of who do I start this week? You're like, oh man, DJ Moore is drawing this corner, and you know, Cortland Sutton, ah man, I don't know. And it just becomes a headache, and it seems like inevitably you guess wrong. So moving one wide receiver would be it. And then one last position to talk about, and then I'll let you ask any questions you want to. You got my man. No, you got George Kittle. David Njoku and Gerald Everett. Now, Gerald Everett is a free agent to be. If any of your league mates come snooping around Gerald Everett, just hold. Just hold. If he were to wind up in a very tight end friendly situation, again, big Colts fan here, if he were to wind up in Indy and something were to, you know, Jack Doyle were to get released or what have you, and then the rest of the guys are just guys, that's a huge win for Gerald Everett. If he lands in any situation where it's tight end friendly, that gives you a piece. And really, you may not want to move him because you have my favorite. He's probably my favorite football player in general right now, just because I think he's a neat guy and I like the way he plays, and he's kind of funny, in George Kittle. I love George Kittle. He's my tight end one in a startup. I do have him above Kelsey. Kelsey's my two. It's not like I have Kelsey at 19 or something. But it's an age thing, you know. Kelsey's 31, going to be 32, or 32, going to be 33. And George Kittle's 27. So I've got a longer runway. But I do want to have a good, solid. Now, did you draft Kittle too? Was this part of the trade back? And I'm going to move back and move back and move back?
Yeah, excuse me. I did draft Kittle. And I didn't have Everett or Njoku all year. I picked them up right at the end of the year, before waivers closed, just because of the changing situations. But when I had Kittle, I mean, it was a godsend when he came back in week 16, but for a good part of the year, I had nobodies. I had Dalton Schultz starting for me.
Well, and that's what happens. And I like that. You seem to be a very an opportunistic GM. You seem to be focused on the right details as it relates to this team. So I'm really glad we got a chance to have this conversation, because this has been unlike any contractor that I've had before. When I first saw it, I was like, what's this guy need my help for? This roster is amazing. I was like, how much better could it get? But I really appreciate you reaching out, because you've done a great job. It's pretty obvious to anyone with eyes and anyone who knows football that you've done a great job. But I think for the listener who maybe has a good team, or maybe they're new to Dynasty, you know, this was a fantastic conversation. So before I get you out of here, what other questions do you have for me, my friend?
Yeah, I just had a couple. So my friend was accusing me of taking too small a gains when I was making my trades. I would make 10 trades when I could have just waited and possibly gotten a better reward for picking the right assets. I just wanted to know, generally, are you someone who's willing to flip for a profit really quickly and move on to the next thing, or are you waiting for assets to appreciate?
Depends on the player. So, okay. Like I said about John Ross, you know, John Ross, if I could get him right now for like a fourth or a fifth, and hell, he could be on waivers in some leagues. He's a guy who is going to wind up on an offense, and all you're looking for is for him to get the right role, and then can you turn that fifth into a third? Can you add him to another trade? You know, if he winds up on a very popular team, the Bears. You won't wind up as a Steeler, the Packers, the Cowboys, the Fourth. Any team that has a large fan base, he's the kind of guy you can add as a sweetener. Just looking to move him in a very short period of time. Outside of that, I'm a very big get your guy kind of GM. Last year, I went all in on a guy named Stephon Diggs, and that worked out well for me. And what I enjoy doing, and I think you and I seem to have a lot of traits alike, is I enjoy taking things apart and putting them back together. You know, I like looking at rosters, and I always recommend investing your time where there's the most potential. So I've been covering this with our Patreons. You need to start looking at rosters, and there are a lot of services saying, hey, don't trade Allen Robinson until he signs. Well, thank you for that. I really super appreciate that. But what about the guys in Chicago who stays? Who stands to benefit from that? If Allen Robinson leaves, a great thing to do is go to, I use Over the Cap or SpoTrack, but all you got to do is search 2021 NFL salary cap, and it will take you dead to both. And then I look at who's got money, who's going to make a deal, who's going to be impacted, and I just start looking for anyone that can accrue value. But as relates to flipping players, I'm going to get my guy, and I'm either going to overpay or I'm going to, maybe make too fair of a deal. I'm in a league. Now, the GM did not accept my offer. I also have Christian McCaffrey, and I have Nick Chubb. And I know this owner's a Nick Chubb guy. Now, this is a start two QB league. It's not a super flex. You have to start two QBs. And I happen to have Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. And I got one other guy. But those are like two of my – I think maybe it's Derek Carr. Maybe it's Derek Carr. But I have those two guys, and I'm like, shit. Literally, shit. And I offered Nick Chubb straight up for Joe Burrow. Now, if we were doing a startup, does Nick Chubb go before Joe Burrow? Probably. So am I giving up a little bit of value? Maybe. But I'm going to get the guy that I think is going to help me build the best long-term championship. So it's great that you have a relationship with your buddy that you guys can needle each other a little bit and give each other the business. But I'm just looking for value. I'm just looking for value. And if a deal feels right, I'm going to make it. Like I said earlier, if a calculator or a service says I'm going to lose, I'm going to shrug my shoulders and I'm going to lose in the moment if I think there's a long-term gain.
Yeah, that's great. I appreciate it. I just had one more question. Today, please. Travis Kelce went on the trade block.
Ooh.
I have Kittle, but if I can get two elite tight ends, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I can start a tight end in the flex. I've got the wide receivers to possibly move for him. Is that something that you would do with this roster?
I really wouldn't personally, because you have your cheat code tight end. You know, it would be great to have two, but he's 31, 32 years old. Patrick Mahomes' extension kicks in not this coming season, but the season after. So this coming year is the last year of his rookie deal, and then the balance on that deal is going to come due. Also, going into the 2022 season, Travis Kelce again will be like either 33 or 34 years old, and they'll have to make some decisions. And I have to think that, you know, maybe he could be Antonio Gates and play till he's 80, but you got the guy. You've got the guy. And even if you're facing trap now, if you didn't have George Kittle, sure. But as long as you've got your cheat code to the tight end, I think you're totally fine. If you had Waller, if you had, you know, Kittle, Kelce, and then I'm missing one other. Hockenson, I'm gonna hold. Those are my top four tight ends. Because the last thing you want to do is stare down the barrel of Travis Kelce or one of these tight ends every week. You're at such a deficit. You're playing the Dalton Schultzes of the world. You're hoping is this an Irv Smith week. You're just begging, borrowing, and trying to get whatever points. But yes, 100%. Now, as an example, if you didn't have George Kittle, I would go to that GM and say, hey, let's talk Davante Adams and Davante Adams and Travis Kelce. you know, what can we turn this into a package? I think they're close, something like that. But that would be the move I would make. And see, here's the thing. I would just kind of lay out right now. I'm preaching to our listeners at the Dynasty Warzone and our Patreons. I'm preaching patience right now. Just patience. Especially if you still have your picks. Just patience. Just wait. Because if there's someone that you really want that you think's out there, you're going to be able to get them. Because those draft picks are only going to go up. Because we're getting ready to come up on a milestone event. This is good for you. The first milestone event in the offseason is the Scouting Combine. We get to see all these young men in their underwear. We get to see them run really fast, and they jump really high. And here's the thing. I'll use Jonathan Taylor as an example. We double count, okay? Last year, coming into the rookie season, if you will, Jonathan Taylor was my 102, 103, depending on the day. DeAndre Swift was my 101. Now, I knew from his track background in high school, he was going to be a very good athlete at the combine. And sure enough, he was a very good athlete at the combine. And then the Dynasty world lost its collective mind, and they vaulted him to number one. The next milestone event is going to be free agency. You know, some of those precious jobs that we're hoping the rookies get, like Miami, like Atlanta, like Seattle, like Pittsburgh, some of those seats are going to be taken. And that's going to change some player value and narrative. Then the third thing is the actual NFL draft. And to me, that is the biggest one. That's the last major hurdle to fall. The next thing is for me personally, is when the rookie draft's over and waivers start running again. Again, get rid of all these guys. I'm going to use your roster as an example. I'm going to chuck Kelvin Harmon. I'm going to chuck back Travis Homer. Depending on who's out there at the quarterback position, I guess I'd probably hang on to Taysom Hill. But as an example, I would much rather take a risk on another guy than hold on to Travis Homer. They had every shot in the world this year with all their injuries at the running back position in Seattle, and they used him so sparingly. So I throw him back. If John Ross doesn't get you any buzz, Jalen Hurd, they're obviously not enamored with that man because they keep bringing in wide receivers and trying to figure something out. I'm going through and I watch camp. One of my favorite tips for everybody is, even if you're not on Instagram, create an Instagram and follow all 32 teams on social media. I'm sorry, on Instagram. They do the little story across the top. They post videos. And it's just one of those things that if you're taking notes and paying attention, you can see who the quarterback's vibing with. You can see who's making great plays. And I would rather have some guy that has the potential to be something than a guy who's already had the potential to be something and hasn't. And one last thing I have for you that is one of my personal favorites. Now, you're not a big Twitter guy. I'm a Twitter guy. I love Twitter. But I also have a separate, I guess you call it a burner account. All I follow is beat reporters, and then ESPN has a reporter assigned to every team. And I literally will scroll through that every day during training camp, mini camp, OTAs, the draft process. After the draft, when undrafted free agents sign with teams, and I just start taking notes. Just take notes, man. What's the beat reporter? Because nobody really knows these teams better than their beat reporter. They have contacts inside the club. They have access that, like, the national media gets secondhand. A lot of times, I really feel like Adam Schefter gets his scoops from some of these local beat reporters. I don't have proof of that, but that's a gut feel. And so those are things that I like to do. So those are some milestone events. Those are, you know, things to do to pass the time. And then read and listen and, you know, start forming your own opinion, because you're going to get to the point, because you're a very smart guy. I can just tell by the way that you operate and your spreadsheet and everything. Just start, you know, taking notes. Keep a note open on your phone, or I see you're writing stuff down. Always take notes. When you hear a name on Bucky Brooks's podcast, and then you hear it on Daniel Jeremiah, I guess they do one together, but you hear one, Dane Brugler has one as well. You hear it on his podcast, and then you hear, you know, Lombardi talk about him. Okay, you're starting to hear that. That's kind of how I heard about James Robinson. Good friend Shane Hallam of FakePigskin.com. He mentioned him to me 2 years ago. And then I started hearing buzz about him through the beat reporters on Twitter. Hey, this James Robinson kid's got a shot. And you know what? James Robinson is like hitting the lottery. That shit don't happen very often. Excuse my my lack of good English, but that shit does not happen very often. But sometimes you get lucky, and you got to put yourself in a position to get lucky. The harder you work, the luckier you'll get. So that's what I got for you, my friend.
This was awesome. Thank you so much for the advice. I've got a lot of notes here. And yeah, it's going to be super useful going into the first off season for Dynasty. So thank you so much.
Well, hey, man, you have my email. You were one of the people that that emailed into this position with me. And but for those of you that don't social media, you can get on the show. You just have to go to dynastywarzone@gmail.com. That is that simple. If you're on social media, it's at DWZ Memphis. You know, hit my DMs, say what's up. And but I will tell you, I'm about scheduled out through March right now, so it'll fill up quickly, but I will continue to do this all the way up till about the middle of August. We're launching. We kind of half-ass launched it last year in season just because I don't have any patience myself. I just want to get things going, but it was cool to do it in season, but we're going to be rolling a full network into 2021 with a show every day, including a live show on Sunday. So I'll be shutting the contractor down in, like I said, around the first to middle of August. And we'll keep going. But Tommy, man, thank you for your time. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I'll be listening.
All right, man. Well, listen, on behalf of Tommy, I am Memphis. And remember, here at the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor, your roster is not a life sentence. We can help you fix it. We can make it better. And until next time, thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you next week.
Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. If I'm not golfing or slinging my cans of Monster, I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what, well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds, tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your Dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.